Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley Today each weekday from 12:30 to 1 on the River 953, I also produce podcasts. And I'm excited to introduce you to a new podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every week, we'll be releasing a new podcast where we interview different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll even get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. We're going to talk to linemen, energy advisors, board members, even the CEO. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode as they're released on our website under the podcast tab at theriver953.com, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify, anywhere you listen to a podcast. Just search for We Are REC. We are in the studio today with Joyce Bodo. She is Government Affairs and Demand Response Administrator for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. We're going to be talking about a subject that fascinates me, electric cars, because I think they're really cool when I see them scooting around on the roads and everything. I'm just not sure that I am an electric car material. So I'm hoping, Joyce, that you can kind of give me the education on them, talk about why they're important, how they work, and maybe give me some education on what I would need to know before I make that final decision. Can we do that today?
Absolutely. So electric cars, I think, is just a really cool topic, and it's becoming a lot more popular over just the last couple of years, really. The number of members asking us about EVs have grown substantially. We now have a webpage on myrec.coop/electric car where we're putting out more and more resources. So we purchased an all-electric Chevy Bolt with a B in 2017. We wrapped it with this really loud green together REC logo, and we drive it around town to different community events to show people this is how you plug in the car. This is what a non-gas engine looks like. And the maintenance on it is a lot less than a standard gasoline car. So really, you have to change your tires, put your windshield fluid in. You don't have to change the filters. You don't have to change the oil. The maintenance on those electric cars are much lower. And there's federal tax incentives that you could be eligible for, up to $7,500. And that $7,500 is based on how many cars has the manufacturer sold already? So depending on what car you get, yeah, you may get a different tax incentive.
And I think it's great, too. I hadn't even thought about that from a maintenance perspective, because there are so many things that go along with having a gasoline-based car that, yeah, you wouldn't have to do if you're just plugging it in.
Right, right.
And you had mentioned to me, we were joking briefly before we turned the mics on, and I was asking about plugging it in. And you specifically said, don't go home and just plug it into one of your outlets, because that is totally, I would go to a dealership and I would say, hey, I want that electric car, and I assume it's charged when they give it to me to drive home, and then I would go home and just plug it in. And that's not what you want to do.
No, if you went home and you plugged it into your garage 120 volt outlet, it's called level one, you'd be hanging out for a really long time waiting for your car to charge. So what you should do is you should buy what's called the level two charging station. They're a couple $100. You can get them online. Any kind of big box retailer will sell them. So that level two actually puts more amps through that charger, and you can charge your car quicker. So if you bought a car and an EV and you're going around town and you need to charge in a public charging station, more than likely they're going to have that level two charging station available for you too.
So that's something too I should look for if I have one when I'm going around and need to stop somewhere for a charge.
Yeah, so you can actually route your trip. So if you were going to make a trip from, I don't know, here to Maryland, you can go online to certain websites or even on your car dashboard, and you can say, I'd like to go to Maryland. And it will show you all of the charging stations along the way. And there are certain applications that will tell you, is that charging station being used? Is there a queue of other people who are waiting for that charging station? And some of them even have like ratings. Oh, this one's broken. Don't go there.
Now, that's kind of cool. Now, do they cost? I mean, I assume it's not free electricity. I have to pay when I plug in to charge at a charging station, right?
It depends who owns the charging station. So some areas will give away the electricity. The utility will always charge for electricity,
right?
But the station owner, maybe it's a municipality who's doing it for economic development, maybe they'll let you charge there for free. But when you go in, you're routing your drive, you can actually see if that if the charger is going to cost you something or not.
And that kind of makes sense. It's very similar, and I only know this because it annoys my husband to no end, when you go to put air in your tires at some gas stations. Some gas stations charge you, and you have to put quarters in the machine to get air for your tires, and others don't, and they're free.
Right.
So it's kind of the same thing. It just depends on the station owner and what their, or where it's located, and how they've set theirs
right.
up.
Now, you would not have to put quarters in your charging station to charge your car. The cool thing is the technology for EVs and how you pay for it has really come a long way. You can use an app on your phone. Some of them have key fobs that you can just swipe right across the kiosk there. And other ones, like I said, are free. It just kind of depends. There's a lot of companies out there who are in this space right now.
So if I get an EV and I buy this level 2 power station, do I have to call Rappahannock Electric as a member and say, hey, I need this installed? What do I have to do on my end at home?
Yes, I would advise you that you call the co-op because if 5 of your neighbors also have these level 2 charging stations sitting in their garage, it may actually overload our transformer, which we don't want to happen, obviously. And if to put a level 2 in, you should call an electrician because they may need to actually modify your panel box.
And that makes sense because you're going to be pulling a little bit more power. Do they have about the same power as, say, a 220? You mentioned not to plug it into a 110, but 220s, I mean, how does that all kind of shake out?
Well, it will add to your electric bill if that's what you're asking. So we've seen like maybe your electric bill might go up 20 or 30% usage wise over the course of a year. So it's the equivalent of putting in another electric water heater. We do have a special rate called a time of use rate where the electricity that we charge is cheaper in the off peak times.
Mm-hmm.
So in the late evening. You can schedule your car to charge at whatever time you'd like, and you can do that through the car. You could do it through an app, and we are evaluating having a special electric vehicle charging rate. We're in the process of evaluating that right now.
One of the things that you were telling me, too, is when you're in the overall market and trying to decide, is this going to be a good car, a good fit for me or for my family, is thinking about what your distance for your driving is.
Right. So for me, I commute 2 miles to the office. So I get pretty good gas mileage on my gas-powered car. So the math may not really work out for somebody like me, but my husband, who commutes 120 miles a day, an EV might be a great option for him because a typical electric vehicle can go over 200 miles on one charge. So in that case, if you're driving 60 miles to get to work, to DC or to Richmond or wherever, it might be a really good option when you look at the economics of miles per gallon.
Well, that and then when you factor in the maintenance, because when you are taking those longer drives, the other pieces of that gasoline-powered engine break down a lot quicker and
right.
you have to do more maintenance on that end too.
Plus, you're not putting carbon emissions in the air when you buy an electric vehicle.
And that's kind of the overall thing.
Yes.
I mean, that's probably where we should have started with the conversation. I think they're really cool. Is there anything else that I should know before we wrap up?
Just to say that our webpage has a lot of resources and we are in the middle of evaluating that webpage to actually bring more robust resources to our members. And if you have a question about electric vehicles, you can log onto our website and you can type in your question about EVs and someone on REC staff will get back to you. And there's someone who is familiar with EVs and can tell you more detail.
Some of these things are sounding kind of cool. I like that it'll remind me that I need to charge it. That was one of my other concerns because I forget to plug my cell phone in at night. So I couldn't imagine having to remember that for my car.
Right, right.
Well, we have been in the studio today talking with Joyce Bodo. She is Government Affairs and Demand Response Administrator for Rappahannock Electric Cooperative. If you need more information about electric cars, you're considering one as an REC member, make sure you head over to myrec.coop/electric cars. Joyce, thanks for coming to hang out
with
me.
Thank you.